In our continuing study of the book of Philippians, we're going to Philippians chapter 1. We saw the great prayer of God, the prayer life of Paul in our previous session, that the believer's love would abound more and more in knowledge and discernment, that they would learn to discern things that differ, and that they would be sincere and without offense until Christ comes back. In verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1 begins a discussion of Paul's situation being imprisoned at Rome. It says in verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren," and that certainly is God's will for all of us, isn't it, that we would understand. And specifically, Paul would that the brethren would understand that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. This is great news. I'm sure that many, many people throughout the first century church were very, very concerned about Paul. They would hear reports of him being imprisoned, of him being taken to Rome, that he's going to appear before Caesar. This must have been very refreshing news to the believers, that the things which had happened to him, to Paul, had fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And this is really what Paul's life was all about, the furtherance of the gospel. Anything that he could do to further God's word. In verse 13 it says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The word palace here is the word praetorium, and it refers to the elite group of Roman soldiers that were responsible to guard Caesar, the Praetorian Guard. So the word of God that Paul was speaking, the word of God that he was furthering, had moved into and throughout all the Praetorian Guard. And this, by one estimate, was a group of about 50,000 Roman soldiers, very large contingency, very elite group, but the word of God was on the move. Paul, even though he was a prisoner, was continuing to speak and minister God's word. And it wasn't just in the Praetorian Guard, it was in all other places. You know, context would be all other places in around Rome. And many of the brethren, not just a couple, not just a few, not just some, but many of the brethren, verse 14, in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, what a great example they had in the Apostle Paul. That even though he was a prisoner, even though, you know, his life was on the line, Paul continued to further the gospel. And as a result, his boldness, his confidence, was contagious. And that's really how God's word works. You know, if you get real bold on God's word, real confident in speaking it, well, it not only has the benefit of furthering the gospel of the people that you're speaking it to, but also your example rings to other believers so that they too wax confident and are more bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that wonderful? Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So, you know, there's maybe some people that were speaking of God's word, were preaching Christ, but not for the best motives, not for the best intentions. But some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. You know, it's kind of interesting. There's some people that were opposing Paul, but what they were speaking of was Christ. So it really was like, because of Paul's life, because of Paul's example, because of his imprisonment at Rome, that the topic of conversation got to be Christ. And for that, it's very, very wonderful. Isn't that what people should be talking about? Even if they're talking about it for the wrong reasons, it is the most important thing. And it says in verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Even if it's for the wrong reasons, you know, Paul was rejoicing because Christ was the topic of conversation, because Christ is being preached. It's so wonderful. The things that had happened to Paul by the time he got to Rome and was there for a while had fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, and for that he rejoiced, continues to rejoice. And remember, this is one of the great themes of Philippians, the joy of serving. And then verse 19, it says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. And this word salvation is one of the key words in the church epistles. It means deliverance. So I know that this shall turn to my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, continue to pray for Paul, is this encouragement, because it's going to result in his deliverance, you know, of his being set free from being a prisoner. And he also knew that that deliverance would come through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul getting guidance, revelation of how to handle the particular situation of when he was set for his defense, his trial before Caesar, that God would supply needed information through the Spirit. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You know, the Apostle Paul was so committed to the furtherance of God's word that he was willing to die for it. That very clear. It's, you know, one of the things that tricked him in his going to Jerusalem was that he was willing to die for the furtherance of the gospel. God told him not to go, but he went anyway, even putting himself in harm's way because he was so committed to see God's word live. Same commitment now at Rome. It was according to his earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, and Paul, in other words, Paul was always bold, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, in other words, if he's committed to the outreach of God's word, Christ being magnified in his body, in his life, then whatever the outcome is, it's going to be for good, even if he were to die. But if I live, verse 22, in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not, or I make known not. Because it says in verse 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two. The two is whether to live or to die. But then there's a third option, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. You know what? For Paul to depart and be with Christ is for Christ to come back. You know, what he's saying is, you know, whatever the outcome is here, the best thing, what is far better, is for Christ to come back. That's his great desire. That certainly is all of our great desire, isn't it? That Christ would come back. That's far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Certainly what Paul was doing in his ministering of God's word and his wonderful example of boldness and confidence and utter commitment to God was far better and more needful for the believers. Verse 25, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of believing." So Paul knew that he was going to continue to live. He had this confidence, "I know that I shall abide and continue with you all." Why? For your furtherance. You know, for the furtherance of the gospel, for the furtherance of the believers, and joy of believing, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul was fully anticipating his deliverance, that he would win his trial before Caesar, that he would be set free, and that as a result he would be able to continue to travel, continue to minister God's word, that he would be able to come unto the church at Philippi. Verse 27, it says, "Only let your conversation," or the word conversation in our modern language means what you talk about, but this is, in the old English, is much broader than that. It means your manner of life or your behavior. "Only let your manner of life be as it becomes the gospel of Christ." You know, let your manner of life be becoming to the word. You know, let your manner of life be the word. Let your manner of life exemplify God's word. "That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one," what? "Spirit." This is reminiscent, very much so, of Ephesians' doctrine. For the whole body to stand fast in one spirit. Remember, Ephesians talks about the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace, how we are all one, that we're together with Christ, that we're together with each other. Now, the encouragement is that they would stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the believing of the gospel. That's the mystery in motion. That's the mystery in practice. Standing fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the believing of the gospel. "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries." You know, Paul was such a wonderful example of that, that even in life-threatening situations, when people were persecuting him like perhaps no other Christian's ever been persecuted, just so continually, so constantly, well, he wasn't terrified by his adversaries, nor should we be. "In nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of deliverance," salvation, it's deliverance, "but to you of deliverance and that of God." You know, it's interesting. It's a, as they oppose God's word, the adversaries oppose God's word, the word declares it's an evident token of their perdition, of their perishing, of them being lost. "But to you, it's of deliverance." So if you encounter adversity, if you encounter adversaries, this is a good verse to remember. You know, it's just an evident token of their being lost because they're opposing God's word. And it's also to us, it's a token of deliverance. And that deliverance is of who? It's of God. Verse 29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." You know, there's a promise of God in the book of Timothy, And a lot of people wouldn't think of it as being a promise, but it is. What it says is that all they which walk godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that's a promise. You know, if you're not getting opposition, you might wonder and ask yourself, are you walking godly in Christ Jesus? Because, boy, when you do walk godly in Christ Jesus, you are going to suffer persecution. This verse speaks of that. It says it's given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, which we all do, but also to suffer for his sake. Hey, we represent Christ here in the world. And as a result, there are going to be adversaries. There's a spiritual forces that work in and through people to oppose God's word, to oppose you and me as we speak God's word. That just comes with the turf. So it's given to us not only to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. And you know, what's also very, very wonderful is when the believers suffer, when the believers go through adversity or persecution, is that God is there and he's the God to deliver us. This really isn't this so much of this context. Paul's firm expectation, earnest hope of his deliverance from all of this junk that he was subject to, that he was going through as a prisoner in Rome. And then verse 30, having the same conflict which he saw in me. You know, we share the same conflict which Paul was going through because we too are sons of God and we too have the ministry of reconciliation. We too represent Christ. So the believers having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. You know, this is a wonderful encouragement to the believers. A wonderful section of Scripture to encourage all of us to the furtherance of God's Word. That regardless of the circumstance, that we would speak God's Word boldly and confidently. That regardless of the opposition or the adversity that one might go through, that we would stand fast in one spirit, that we would have one mind striving together for the believing of God's word. Now, as we'll see in our subsequent sessions, this is something, the commitment to the furtherance of the gospel, the standing fast in one spirit, having one mind and striving together for the believing of the gospel, this is something that the believers at Philippi had let slipped. This is something that, although they had known and practiced the mystery, that they had kind of backed off on, that they had sort of lost the joy of serving. And that will come up in our subsequent sessions.